From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. In a moment, a grandmother wants to see more of her grandson. The boy's father says no. It's the latest grandparents' rights case.
First, President Bush has an op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal. In it, he says he'll reveal his new strategy for Iraq in the coming days. Various reports suggest Mr. Bush wants a surge, an increase in the number of U.S. troops serving in Iraq, also surging the number of congressional voices opposed to this idea.
NPR's Mike Pesca is in Washington trying to answer the question, can Congress stop a surge?
Today might be the eve of a new Congress, but some things haven't changed at all, no matter who's in charge of the Senate and House. Over the years, the presidency has become more and more independent on military matters, to the point where all Congress can do is raise a clamor and then say afterwards, well, we tried. In fact, there's a phrase for it.
Sometimes referred to as the cry and sigh syndrome.
University of Texas political scientist James Lindsay. But before we get to the expert, let's hear from an actual politician, perhaps one too green to even know that there's a syndrome. Tim Walz, newly elected from Minnesota's 1st District, is a retired teacher and sergeant major in the Army. He doesn't know from cry and sigh. His constituents are more worried about the urge to surge.
They don't want unaccounted money going to this war, and they're not real big on this idea of an escalation or a surge, whatever you call it.
Now back to James Lindsay, here to throw some cold water on the fiery Mr. Smith, Mr. Walz, who's about to go to Washington.
Congress's tools for shaping Iraq policy are very blunt and very difficult to wield.
Technically, Congress could pass a law. No money shall be appropriated to increase troop levels. This is a law that has, in Professor Lindsay's estimation, 0% chance of passing, because everyone knows how it will play out. It would be vetoed, and the veto would not be overturned. Congress can also threaten down the line to take out their frustration on what's called emergency supplemental bills, voting against the multi-billion dollar packages that literally fund the war. Here's Professor Lindsay's problem with that.
Threats of refusing to fund things tend not to be sustainable, because at the end of the day, members of Congress know they have to fund these operations.
And it's not just Democrats who are against the surge. Many Republicans have also expressed those sentiments. This week, conservative columnist Robert Novak counted 12 Republican senators who have at least expressed skepticism. One is Pennsylvania's Arlen Specter, here talking to Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
Can you justify deploying more U.S. troops into what you believe is a civil war?
On this state of the record, Wolf, I would say no. I'm inclined to support the conclusions of Jim Baker, but I'm going to await the president's plan.
Now, Republicans may have less to lose politically by opposing the surge because it's Democrats, due to their opposition to the Vietnam War, who gained the reputation among many voters as being anti-military. It's a label and sometimes a smear that they've been trying to shake for decades. Tim Walz rebuts this charge, but also recognizes that it's persistent.
I know that the fear is that we're going to get boxed into a corner saying that you don't support the troops because you're not giving them money. I think that tune has changed a little bit in the past few months. I don't think the American public is quite willing to jump on that.
But that means the threat to withhold funding has to be more than a threat. I put it to Mr. Walz. If they jump up and down and say we're against this, Democrats and the Republicans who are against it, and yet still vote to give the president the money he's asking for, would it be fair to call the people in that position spineless or feckless?
You know, I think it could possibly be fair to do that, because I'm going to have to struggle with that, too. And I don't think I could say, here's the money to do this, and I'm totally opposed to it. It can't work that way.
Of course, Walz freely admits that he's not yet an expert on exactly how Congress works. But there, at least, is the cry of one freshman representative. Next, perhaps, the sigh. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Washington.